last prayer. He's around you everywhere. He will hear and answer you too. He'll see you through.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might ensnare him in his talk. It is written, on that day came to him Sadducees, they that say there is no resurrection. And they ask him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. It is written. But the Pharisees, when they heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, gathered themselves together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, trying him, Master, which is the great commandment in the law?
God is just a prayer away.
Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, what think ye of the Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, how then doth David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I put thine enemies underneath thy feet. If David then calleth him Lord, how is he his son? He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught, whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by water still or troubled sea, still 'tis his hand that leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur nor repine, content whate'er lot I see, since still my God that leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, e'en death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me.
God is just a
Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message from Matthew 22. What think ye of Christ? The Pharisees and Sadducees had asked Jesus, a series of trick questions in a vain endeavor to ensnare him in his talk. Jesus amazed them with his answers, and then he asked some of them a question. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They answered correctly as they replied, He is the son of David. The Lord finished the quotation from Psalms. How then doth David call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou in my right hand, till I make thine enemies under thy feet. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? When they saw where this was going, the son of David lived before David, they decided to say no more. At this point, we leave the Pharisees in their dilemma and ask the question again for our own edification. Ladies and gentlemen, what think ye of Christ? Some of the best testimonies about Jesus is the testimony that comes to us from the kingdom of darkness. So first listen to them as they tell us what they think of Jesus during his sojourn on planet Earth. Listen to them as they hiss out the message. The first identification of Jesus was by the devil himself. Jesus was preaching in the synagogue at Capernaum on a Sabbath day, and in the synagogue there was a man that had the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, Ah, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Nazarene? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Now that's what the devil thinks of Jesus. He thinks he is the Holy One of God. This is significant when the devil calls Jesus the Holy One of God. Just before this, the devil had tried Jesus in the wilderness with the strongest temptations and failed. No one had ever stood up before him before and won over the devil as Jesus. Then add to this the fact that from the age of 12 until about 30, we know nothing about the life of Jesus except that he was a carpenter. The devil had many busy years tempting the Lord in his teenage years and during his 20s. And Jesus was always victorious over every temptation. The devil would not have called Jesus the Holy One of God otherwise. When the devil stands face to face with Jesus, the devil calls him holy. Then again in the country of the Gadarenes, Jesus was met by a man who had a legion of demons within him. He cried out with a loud voice, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Art thou come to torment us before the time? The devil not only recognized Jesus as the Son of God, but also made a comment about the existence of the place of torment and the power of Jesus to see that he was tormented. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what the devil thinks of Jesus. According to the devil, Jesus is a Son of God, he is holy, and has power over the forces of darkness. So what think ye of Christ? Next we consider what the Pharisees thought of Jesus. Luke tells us that all the publicans and sinners were drawing nigh unto him to hear him. The Pharisees and the scribes made the charge, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I'm glad to hear that testimony of the enemies of Jesus. Think of it. The Pharisees said that Jesus will receive sinners and eat with them. That means Jesus will receive me and eat with me. What a compliment that is. If Christ had not received sinners and then ate with them, I would still be on my way to hell. I eat with the Lord every Sunday on the Lord's table. And when I eat of the loaf and drink of the cup, the fruit of the vine. Then again, while the Lord was on the cross, the chief priests made the charge. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. According to them, the Lord Jesus could not save himself and save us at the same time. Now that is the gospel according to the devil. I'm glad he did not save himself from the agony of the cross. If he had, again I say I would be on my way to hell. The devil and the Pharisees understood clearly that I could not go to heaven without the death of Jesus on the cross. Hear their view again, as they said. He receives sinners, eats with them, and could not save himself. By saving himself, he couldn't save us. That is the view of the devil on the death of Christ on the cross. Listen to that again. It's almost unbelievable. The devil believes that Jesus died to save my soul. So what think ye of Christ? Now listen to Caiaphas, the high priest. Tell us what he thinks about Jesus. When Jesus was tried before Caiaphas, they sought false witnesses against Jesus and could find none. Caiaphas, in desperation, put Jesus under oath and said, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou art the Christ. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto thee, henceforth ye shall see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his garments, saying, He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? According to Caiaphas, the promise Jesus made of his second coming on the clouds of heaven would be seen by everyone, including the ones who pierced him. And Caiaphas said, That's blasphemy. He had to admit that's what Jesus said. Caiaphas may not like it, but he understood what Jesus meant. Now what think ye of Christ? Now consider what Pilate thought about Jesus. Jesus was delivered to Pontius Pilate, and the charge was made that he perverted the nation, forbidding to give tribute unto Caesar. Now this was a serious charge, and when Pilate examined Jesus, his verdict given to the accusers was, I have examined him, and I find no fault in this man. Not only did he say he found no fault in this man, but while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent a note to Pilate's, and the note said, Have thou nothing to do with this righteous man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Mrs. Pilate was having nightmares over the whole situation, and she called Jesus a righteous man with no faults. This was the opinion of both Pilate and his wife, and the devil had of Jesus. I live 2,000 years this side of Pilate and his wife, and I stand shoulder to shoulder with Mr. and Mrs. Pilate. When I tell you this, I find no fault in this righteous man. Now, what think ye of Christ? Now listen to what Judas had to say about the character of Jesus. Judas was the arch traitor who betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Surely there must be some terrible charge that can be made by a man who heard him preach, saw him raise the dead, restore sight to the blind, and then sold him out to the enemy for such a small sum. The small sum itself was an insult. What terrible thing had Jesus done to deserve such contemptuous treatment? Listen to Judas as he bears his soul when he saw that Jesus was condemned to be crucified. He repented of himself and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to it. And he cast down the pieces of silver into the sanctuary and departed. And he went away and hanged himself. Such is the testimony of the arch traitor. I have betrayed innocent blood. Now, what think ye of Christ? Surely the testimony of the centurion who was in charge of this crucifixion detail would be most important. Now, he was the man in charge of the soldiers who led Jesus to the cross. He was the man who gave the order to force Simon of Cyrene to carry the cross of Jesus. He was the man who gave the order to drive the nails through the hands and feet of Jesus. He was the man who gave the order to dig the hole where they lifted the cross and dropped it into that hole with a thud that shook the foundations of hell. He was the man who gave the order to break the legs of the three who were crucified to hasten their death. Even though one of the soldiers, when he saw Jesus was already dead, pierced his side, and this is the man who, when he saw the earthquake and the things that were done, feared exceedingly as he stood there with bloody hands and said, Truly, this was the Son of God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what think ye of Christ? How about the thief on the cross? The chief priest mocking him with the scribes and elders, saying, He is the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe on him. The robbers also that were crucified with him cast upon him the same reproach. Both robbers railed on him at first. But Luke tells us about something that happened to one of the robbers who began to rebuke the other and told him, Dost thou not even fear God, seeing that we receive the just recompense of our deeds? But this man hath done nothing amiss. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The testimony of the thief was, this man hath done nothing amiss. So what think ye of Christ? Here again the summation of the enemies of Christ. They said, He is the Holy One of God. They said, I find no fault in him. They said, He promised to return on the clouds with power and great glory, and that was blasphemy. They said, He could not save himself and save us at the same time. They said that his death was the slaying of one with innocent blood. They said, certainly he must be the Son of God. They said, he have done nothing amiss. The worst they could say was the best they could say. But the amazing thing about what the devil also said about Jesus can be said by millions of people today who say the same thing and are still just as lost and bound for hell as those enemies of Christ. Listen to James. Even the demons believe and tremble. A person may believe all these statements of the enemies of Christ, and yet without repentance and baptism for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, be just as lost as the devil. What think ye of Christ? Now, in conclusion, a final warning about the greatest council meeting that ever took place on planet Earth. There is no doubt that the decision of that meeting was the most important decision of all regarding the person of Jesus of Nazareth. It was a summit meeting. A summit meeting not only because of where it was held, but regarding the personalities who were there. The place was the place described by Peter in his second epistle as the Holy Mount. There were seven individuals present, and during the meeting, nothing was said about the World Series, the Super Bowl, or basketball playoffs, or any other entertainment or news event that claimed our attention. Those present for this summit meeting were God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there were two very distinguished arrivals on the scene from outer space by the name of Moses and Elijah, who arrived in glory. It was a full dress occasion, at least for four of them. Then there were three others who seemed to be bewildered as to why they had been invited to the conference in the first place. A conference that would involve millions of people in all ages and nations. Their names were Peter, James, and John. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't know the minutes of all that was said at this conference, but we do know the major issues, and it seems the only issue that was laid on the table. It seems the issue discussed was the decease Jesus would accomplish at Jerusalem. This is a most interesting situation. Since nothing else was brought up about any other subject, it seems the crucifixion of Jesus and his resurrection was to them the most important event that ever happened on this planet. In the fantasy world, when space travels arrive here on from outer space, they always say to whomever they meet, "Take me to your leader." When Moses and Elijah came down from outer space, they did not tell Jesus, "Take us to your leader," because they knew he was the leader. They knew that he was the only person that could lead the human race to eternal glory. When real people actually come down from outer space, all they will talk about is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The conclusion of this summit meeting puts our lives in perspective. Could it be, ladies and gentlemen, that this broadcast you are listening to at this moment is the most important news event that will be heard on this radio station all this week? Could it be this message is more important than all the wars, murders, scores of ball games put together? According to these conferees in this great council, it could very well be. Could it be that this week all the talk show programs will revolve around the gospel of Christ? Could it be that all the people who call in to the various talk hosts this week will discuss the importance of the gospel? Will people be calling in and asking, "What must I do to be saved?" After all, what else is there to talk about? Jesus died for our sins. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Christ died for our sins. Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What think ye of Christ? Because of the result this council had, at a later time, the Apostle John, who had been on the summit for this meeting, could record the words of Jesus regarding another appearance of Jesus in glory in Revelation, when Jesus said, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades." Because of the gospel, Jesus has the key to every grave and the key to the spirit world. At his return, he can unlock every coffin and unite the spirits with their bodies to stand before him on the judgment day. Although we do not have the minutes of the entire discussion that took place that day on the Holy Mount, we do have information about the final conclusion of the entire conference. And that was when God the Father closed the meeting with this final word: "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Ladies and gentlemen, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? I will tell you what all will think sooner or later. Paul said it for us when he said, "Wherefore also God highly exalted him, and gave unto him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things on the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." What think ye of Christ? Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just Prayer Away radio broadcast, brought to you each week at this same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address: Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again: Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Don't forget to check out our website, edbousman.org. Until next week at the same time, don't forget to tell somebody, somehow, and in some way, that God is just prayer away.